coming up on TMS, there's a bra in that tree.
That date was a real mystery.
Watch out for aggressive goats.
We didn't mean all you can eat.
Someone has to shoot the ghost clowns.
That's so true. Texas man is odd.
Major spoilers.
Oreo nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most.
Poo Fest.
The Morning Stream. Save it for the French.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's Monday morning for The Morning Stream, September 17th, 2018. Scott Johnson here. Brian Ibbett there.
Here. Well, I'm here. You're there. Oh. Really. I mean, if we're splitting hairs, I can't say that I'm there. I'm here.
That whole splitting hair, I don't get that splitting hairs thing. What's the point of that phrase? That's, you know what I mean?
That phrase?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it's taking something minute and trying to even break it into something even more minute.
Oh, like, all right. So if I'm splitting hairs.
In other words, you're taking something that's like, well, Charmin, the originator of the, I mean, I'm trying to come up with something like something very trivial and minute. So Charmin toilet paper, really, it's pronounced Chairman.
Oh, Chairman. I see what you mean. So if you really were, if you could split a hair in half, you really just end up with more hair, but it's really just hair. That's the idea, right? Like, that's why splitting hairs is, isn't that the idea? Because if you split it, what's the big deal? You didn't really do anything. You just have more hair. Or you have the same amount of hair. You've just made another thing that looks like another hair.
Once again, it doesn't have anything to do with quantity.
Well, no, I understand that, but I'm saying, isn't that the point? Oh, wait, chat, confirmation from Dunaway, Greenwood is indeed where he lives. You are correct. Yes. Brian wins today's prize package of nothing. You get nothing for that. But you know what I'm saying? If someone's going to give an origin meaning, if you say splitting hairs means you're making too big of a deal out of something small.
Yes.
But the idea of
It's not a matter of like, oh, now I ended up with two smaller hairs. It's a matter of the process is what the phrase is intended to signify.
That's true.
That the process of trying to divide something so tiny in half is...
With the idea that it's not important, right? It doesn't matter. Yeah. You should just keep your hair the way it is. Don't split it. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
It's a weird statement is what I'm saying.
I don't think it's that either. Well, I guess if anything, it's going to be closest to that. If you're going to, your hair's fine. Keep it the way it is. Don't split it.
All right. Because what's the point, right? Like, that's the point, is what is the point? Like, it doesn't matter. Don't split hairs because that's not going to do you any good. However, if somebody out there could figure out a way to actually split every hair they have, that I would like to see. That's a significant thing. Just a bunch of little half hairs, man.
Well, that's the problem is that, I remember the commercials, at least growing up in the 70s and the 80s, the commercials about shampoo, like, told you to prevent split ends.
Oh,
right?
Split ends, right. I forgot about split ends. That's the thing you get.
Yeah. So that's what they should have done for their slogan. You know, use Wella Balsam. Don't split hairs.
Yeah, there you go. Don't split your hairs. Just get Wella Balsam. Is Wella Balsam a thing? Is that a thing? I've never heard of that.
It was then. I don't know if it still is.
I've never even heard of it, but I do remember getting split hairs.
Back when Fred Weller got together with Larry Balsam.
Fred Weller. That's a pretty good name. Yeah. When I was in high school and I had my big long hair, my mullet hair, I would sometimes get split ends. I remember those days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel for you ladies out there with the longer hair, and you men who may have longer hair. I feel for you.
Sure.
I do.
Sure.
Hey, check this out. So I'm out walking the dog this morning, like I do. Got up real early today. It's amazing what a puppy will... having a puppy is like having a baby. Mm. They have a different schedule than you do, so...
They totally do, yeah.
Got to get her used to it.
They wake up when they wake up and want to go outside to pee.
Yep. Her leg's doing better, though, so that's good.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you about that.
Less limpy, you know, a little bit. Good. Still a little, you know... Once in a while, they'll wrestle, and then after they're done wrestling, she kind of has it a little bit, but I can tell it's just... She just overdid it or whatever, but whatever it is, it seems to be healing. So that's good. Mm. And I still, if I lay her down and like squeeze all over her arm and her foot and her paw and her shoulder and everything, nothing, she can't, she doesn't even act like it's anything. So I think it's just.
No flinch or.
No, it seems to be going okay, away. Good. So best good. I can tell. Anyway, I'm walking the other dog though, Rainer, the female dog, Jim Rainer, the female dog.
Jim Rainer, the female dog. Yep.
Yeah, got her out there on the leash, and we're doing our little routine, and I'm going around the long way because I want to get a good 35 minutes in, and listening to podcasts while I do it. By the way, the Slate's Slow Burn podcast is fantastic. People should check it out. If you liked Serial, it's kind of that, but for they did a whole season on Watergate. Now the season they're in right now is all about the Bill Clinton impeachment. That may sound boring to some people. I found it utterly fascinating. They tell you stuff you never even heard. It's amazing. It's
really
good.
Cool.
Anyway, so I'm listening to that, walking the dog, not really paying attention. Around this corner, my only regret is I didn't get a picture of this. But in this tree, mm-hmm. down by the community pool place, is a bra hanging there. Just like a bra hanging, you know, like from one of its straps.
From one of the branches, like on a branch.
Yeah, a big bra, by the way. I want to put that out there, just that it was a large cup size. I couldn't tell you exactly what, but a pretty, you know, pretty ample slingshot there.
All right, is some questions now.
Yeah, I got lots of them. Go ahead.
Is the pool, is the pool locked up or can you just go into the pool? I imagine they probably have to keep it locked up because of liabilities and stuff.
Oh, sure.
Right?
So yeah. It's locked. Plus it's closed right now because it's an outdoor pool and the season's done. So they've actually closed it.
Gotcha. So, probably Labor Day or something like that.
So you can't even
get in
there.
Didn't just say, I'm going to go for a swim and take off their bra, jump into the water.
Fair assumption, I believe. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. no other clothing strewn about?
No. I didn't look real hard, but all I saw was a bra on that tree. That was it.
Okay. All right.
No other clothes in the tree, because I did look at the tree pretty detailed. I looked around trying to think of what was going on here. Still nothing but the bra.
Is it that horrible beige color?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like that skin tone nasty thing that you're sure your aunt wears? That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really should just stop selling bras that color.
Yeah.
Like that is...
It's nasty. You know what it looks like? It looks like it was white at one point and has just gone beige.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, that's a whole different thing. Wow. All right.
I'm more of a, you know, white or black or, you know.
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, red if you're as Janet Jackson says, if you're nasty.
If you're nasty, sure. Why not? A little Pretty Woman action there going on. But anyway, I've thought about this morning and I don't have an answer. I don't know. I mean, was there some wild mutually decided defrocking that happened? It didn't look the kind of bra that some, you know, crazy high schooler would have. It was just it was grandma bra, like a big,
large, okay.
And that color you're talking about, and it just seemed like a more utilitarian bra.
I totally know what you mean. This is not, you're not wearing this on a Saturday night going to the singles bar
No, this isn't a strap hanging out of your little loose little shirt there. This is like a big industrial, like this gets the job done kind of bra. So I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I could have been there. Maybe wish there was, I mean, I don't know why I would want to, but it could have been somebody driving by and just hucked it out of the car. I'm sick of this bra and tore it off and threw it.
Yeah, you wish you could have been there just so you could have gotten closure on the reason it was there, not because you wanted to see.
Yeah, it's also a little high up. I would have to jump to get it, and I'm 6'3 or 3.5, so I'm tall, and I would have had to jump to get it. So it's not just some low-hanging fruit. It was, like, up there.
There were no bees in it when you squoze it?
No.
As you ran by?
No. That's funny you should say that, though, because I forgot to tell you, but last week, similar walk, there was a bee in a leaf. And I didn't squeeze it, but I saw it in the dry leaf kind of crawling around in it. So I think I'm that's in my past now. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But
interesting.
Anyway,
very interesting.
So I don't know. Do you report such a thing? Probably not. Do I take it down and say, there's a bra, put it in the trash? Like, I don't know what is my civic duty? What is my cultural contract here? What am I supposed to do?
I'm not going to go touching a strange bra. So I think you wait for... Someone who's in a position of authority, homeowners association drive by. Oh, can't have that.
Yeah, So you neither take bras nor leave bras. Is that what you're saying?
You neither take bras nor leave bras. Yes.
Well, it still works because there's only one bra. See.
Yes. Leave the bra. Take the cannoli.
Yeah. Brassiere. So yeah, that's what I did. I left it and I thought about it, and now I can get it off my chest, and now I don't have no idea. Now oops, I did not intend that.
That seemed like a very unintentional and brilliant pun.
I did not mean it, but I'll take it. If you are listening to the show and you email us at themorningstream@gmail.com and you want to explain what you think happened, I'm happy to hear you out and we'll read it on the show. But I'd love to hear your theories about Scott's bra experience.
Better yet, send us a video reenactment,
yeah,
of a dramatization of what you believe happened.
Yeah. I will say that it looked like a clean bra.
Well, you just said that you think it might have been white originally, and now it's that...
I'm just saying, you never know with that beige.
Okay.
You just know. I mean, I always assume when I see one that it's just a little nastier than some other bra. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't...
Sure.
I don't know why I think that, because it's like a grandma bra. It's like something your grandma owns. You don't have there's no sexy people walking around in that.
Right.
You know?
Well, come on. Some, you know, older people might disagree that...
got it. Again... If you want to send in your argument about whether or not that's a sexy piece of lingerie, let me know, because I still don't get it. All right, details for those in the Ohio area and who are wanting to come see Kim and I and Steve Hammaker and anyone else who might be there on the 29th and 30th. There's I finally had a meeting yesterday that was going to confirm everything on the timing and everything. It's called GDEX. It is they call themselves the Midwest Premier Gaming Expo. It is September 29th through the 30th. They also have a dev day on the 28th for developers. It's actually run by a company that does a bunch of video game stuff, board games, other things like that. Anyway, or at any rate, as you can see up here, there's a little picture of me, chat room with a little background. That's me in 2014 when I was all skinny. So that's a good time. Anyway.
It's a good photo for them to keep using.
Yeah. This used to have this cool video running here, but I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, it is all confirmed. Now, one of the things we were talking about was, hey, what about maybe on Friday night we would have a get-together somewhere at some bar or something. Mm-hmm. And now that I've had a look at the schedule, there is all kind of stuff on Friday that's going to jack that up. So,
oh, no, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I got a better idea. We got a little plan here. On Saturday, at the event, and this is at the... Oh, I forgot the name of it. Hold on. Let's see. Special events, ticket info, hotel and travel. I can't... Okay, what? Okay, here it is. At least I think this is it. Okay, I got to find the location. But anyway, it's they have this thing on the Saturday there where they're doing open... So it's like an open game area where they've got, like... consoles and VR and TV stuff set up and all that. They're even doing the Killer Queen finals. Do you know what that is? Have you heard of Killer Queen? So it's this arcade game that was like an open source arcade game that was four player. It's basically multiplayer Joust, and it's extremely popular in the arcade scene, and they're doing the finals there. It's really cool. Killer Queen's awesome. They're actually making a Switch version of this game finally, which is pretty cool.
Ooh.
Anyway, the point of it is, what is the point of it? The point of it is that we will, they're going to have this open space, and I want to say it's between 6 and 8 or something like that. And it's they say, hey, you can totally use that time and that space if you want for your meetup. There's a bar there. There'll be all kinds of hanging out and fun stuff going
perfect.
On. So, nice. If you are interested, here's what it probably is going to mean, though, and this is the only downside, I suppose. You'd have to get a day pass because these are ticketed events. So, they have a full weekend pass for this thing, and then they have day passes. Day pass is only $40. It's cheap. But that'll get you in there for the whole shenanigans for the full day if you want. And we can do the meetup thing later there at the thing. Oh, by the way, it's called the Greater Columbus Convention Center is where it is.
Cool.
And it's right downtown. And apparently everybody who's there knows what that is. So anyway, that's the plan. And we'll have all kinds of cool time together then. And if you're coming for the entire weekend of stuff, I'll have a table. There'll be signings. I have multiple panels I'm on. We're doing a how to raise a family and be a content creator thing. I got one about the instance specifically. There's another one where I just talk about frog pants in general. So if you're interested in any of those things, it's all happening that weekend. That's in, what, 2.5 weeks? Something like that? Not even that?
Something like that. Yeah.
So
two
there
weeks.
You go.
Two weeks.
2 weeks. If you have any questions, you can email me. I can get you more details. Maybe I'll put a post up on the site so people can reference it. But you can also go to thegdex.com for details. That's thegdex.com, thegdex.com, and you can find out all about it. And excellent. I would really like to see. I already know I'm going to see a bunch of you there because some of you are already coming to this and you're like, oh, no way, you're going to be there. Cool. So you're already going to be there. But we'd love to see anybody else who wants to come hang out on Saturday. And I'll remind you guys later as we get closer. All right. Brian.
So before we get to my notes here.
Yeah.
You know, I think what we ought to do real quick, just to kind of sum up on the bra thing.
Yeah.
A little contest. No prize or anything. But we'll read winners on the air. Over the next 24 hours, come up with a haiku explaining how the bra ended up in the tree. We'll read the best ones on the show tomorrow. Make sure to use the hashtag #MysteryBraHaiku. And haiku, remember, is five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables.
Yeah, or just hashtag #MysteryBra. Then you don't have to...
There you go. Then you don't have to worry about how to spell haiku.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because there are going to be people like me who forget
Perfect.
How to spell it. Mystery bra.
There you go.
That's your hashtag. If you'd rather not use Twitter, you can email those, whatever, but we would love to read those tomorrow. And you know what? Maybe we'll give a little prize to somebody who wins. How about that?
Sure, why not? We've got prizes.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I do have a good prize. Maybe a He-Man mask.
Okay. All right.
The one that you don't get. The,
yeah. The one that I don't
Fakor.
Get.
Fakor, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Or is it just Faker?
It's better than Two-Man, or whatever his name was.
That's right. Two-Face?
Two-Man?
Is
it Two-Man?
Oh, Two-Man.
I think it was
right.
Two-Man. Anyway, tell me about your mystery date. It's time again. How often do you do these, by the way?
Monthly. So we do
a monthly
mystery date. We alternate which one of us is the preparer and the preparee.
Yeah.
So this last weekend... September was Tina's month to come up with a mystery date for me. This was a great one. We started out going to my favorite Mexican place in Denver, which is also her favorite place, called Benny's.
Yeah.
Which is close to downtown. It's close to the governor's house, Governor's Park.
Mm.
And then after that, we did a scavenger hunt / ghost walking tour of downtown Denver. So basically, this is a it's an app you can get called Roam Free, I believe. Roam Free. She found a Groupon for scavengerhunt.com and bought it. It was $20 for the two of us, and it basically directs you to buy this app, use the Groupon to get your walk for two people as part of the app.
Yeah.
And it just basically notes your location, tells you, okay, walk down this street, look for a building that's got two that's protected by a sphinx and two lions or something like that. And so you kind of look around, oh, there it is. And then you hit the next button on the app and it figures out that you're at the location and says, all right, what you're looking at is this such and such building. Reports were that a woman is buried in the floorboards, and if you walk through it when they have an open tour day, there are cold spots and stuff like that. I don't know how many cities they have it in, but it is so, so cool.
Wow, I didn't even heard of this. This sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a perfect thing. Now, you're technically competing against other people who have done the app, but you're not competing live. Like, you're
right.
Not racing to get somewhere before the people in front of you or anything like that. You can just basically go at your own pace whenever you want. You know, you're downtown, like, oh, let's do our scavenger hunt now. Bing, and you're starting. And they just track your time and say, you know, how you did compared to other people who did that same scavenger hunt in the app. We did better than 30% of people. So in other words, we did pretty poorly.
Oh, is that bad? Oh, sounds
well,
right.
It means we were in the top 70%, basically.
It's not bad. It's all right.
Yeah, not bad. But keep in mind, I have plantar fasciitis. We're taking things kind of slow. We also stopped to get ice cream at one point. And stopped off for a drink at another place, and and just kind of dilly-dallied. There were a couple Pokestops, which were slightly, we're like, oh, let's go spin that Pokestop while we're on our way over to this other thing.
Sure, sure. And, it sounds all right, though. It sounds like it was fun.
It was a lot of fun and a really cool way to discover parts of the city that we've driven by a bunch of time, a bunch of times. There was a there's an apartment building in Denver, a block off of a route that we take all the time, that is super haunted and modeled after one of Chicago's most haunted apartment buildings. Okay. It's really, really cool. There's snakes above the snakes as gargoyles above the doors, and really, really cool.
That's awesome. So, I love weird little hidden stuff in your own city. It's awesome.
Yeah, and as you go, you'll get like every person has their own phone connected to the app, and it'll ping each of us individually with, hey, here's a trivia question for it, answer it for 50 points, or here's a challenge for you, take a photo of a bird that is either black or gray, or you know, stuff like that. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Sounds like a perfect thing for you, too.
One of the last stops on the tour was the Capitol building, Denver Capitol building. And we showed up there just as a Trump rally was going on.
Great.
Or not a Trump rally, but a MAGA rally.
Great.
There were a lot of red hats.
Great.
And by a lot, there were maybe 12 people there.
Yeah.
It was a guy with a microphone up on the step saying, we're not going to, you know, the Democrats and the liberals are not going to take food out of our mouths. Blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And then there are the 12 people going, yeah.
They know they won, right? They're aware that they won this election?
I think they were, yeah. But anyway, so that was kind of funny too.
Largest rally, biggest rally in Denver.
Exactly. We kind of stood over on the fringes and watched for a few minutes until we just couldn't take it anymore.
And that would be about 30 seconds for me, and I'm out of there.
It is kind of fascinating because you listen and it's like, that's kind of an over exaggeration of things, and I mean it always is on both sides.
It doesn't matter who does it. It's dumb.
Exactly.
I hate that stuff in general. But so it's an asynchronous kind of activity, is what you described.
It's
you don't have to compete in real time with anybody.
Nope.
It's like war fronts in World of Warcraft. You do the best
exactly.
you can,
yeah.
and then later,
own,
yeah, and then the other guys do it,
pace.
And if they do better, then they won.
Exactly. And looking at their list of cities, they have so many places. Like you look at their the webpage, scavengerhunt.com, which is what Free Roam uses. There's a couple in Salt Lake City, it looks like. There's one in Las Vegas. That seems like it would be an interesting one.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Well, there is an SLC one. I have to check that out.
Yeah.
What does it cost?
Lots of Los Angeles. The Groupon that we got was $20. It
that's
was
all?
Nothing for two people.
$20 for both of you?
$20 for both of us.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah, I'm
silly.
Doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
It's silly. And even if you don't do the Groupon, I think it's only $40 for two people.
This is such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Oh, you can do it for you can have team building activities with your company.
Here's a little secret.
Yeah.
If you go to if you go to scavengerhunt.com and you look at ticket prices, and then you hover your mouse over the close button, then you immediately get one of those coupons that says, oh, wait, don't go. How about we give you 50% off or 55% off? So there you go.
All right.
Don't just buy. Go to the website and hover over the close button. You'll get a better offer.
Seems okay. All right. Well, that's all good. Tell us about your sous vide before we call Dunaway.
Yeah. Last night we did the sous vide, and we did a first time. Using the new sous vide, did a pork tenderloin, just shoved all that stuff, butter, garlic, salt, pepper, rosemary. We shoved her in a bag from the Dick Van Dyke Show and shoved it in a bag with the pork tenderloin, hour and a half in the sous vide, and it was freaking fantastic.
It's great, right? Like that thing is
moist,
the bomb.
Juicy. Oh, so good. So. Doing steaks tonight and doing shrimp tomorrow.
You're killing me. What are we doing tonight? I hope something like that. That sounds fantastic. All right. Sous vide, it's the best thing ever. Speaking of moist and tender. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Babel Royale, starring the one and the only Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey,
oh,
hi. You have internet. That means you're okay. How's it going?
I have internet. Yeah.
We have this.
I'm pretty dry now.
Why did I think you were from Greenville? Did you used to live in Greenville? Is that the deal?
Greenville is a larger city and is just north of where I live in South Carolina.
Have you ever lived there, though? Have you ever lived in Greenville?
No, you have said for years on ELR, you would say Greenville. I said Greenwood. You say Greenville, Greenwood.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. I've been doing it since those days. I don't know why.
It's because Greenville, you know. How about Greenburg? Do you live in Greenburg?
Yeah, do you live in Greenburg compared to you?
Greenburger.
It's right up to Greenburg.
How about Greentown?
Anything with green in it. All right, well.
And the truth is, I don't even live in Greenwood. I actually live in Greenwood County. I live in a much smaller town with two red lights.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah. Really? That's
they
all?
They never change?
No,
the cars
they always
just, like,
change.
Stack up there? Like...
That's right.
Just two red.
They're always red.
That's how,
always
that's red. How they get their population. People just get stuck in.
That's how they live here now.
Yeah, you know what? That's what it is. Tom Merritt's from Greenville, Illinois, and so I think I confuse him with you too. It's all everyone else's fault but mine. Yeah,
me or Tom are just like one and the same.
Yeah, you're worms from the same sperm. What? I don't know what that means.
City Brothers.
Hey, let's get to it. We're going to play a little game here called Babel Royale. We're going to play it with you, a listener. I don't know who it'll be, but we're about to find out who that's going to be. Hi, you're on the air. Oh, wait, that's not working yet. Hold on a second. Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Steven from North Carolina. Steve H&H in the chat room.
Look at all these North and South Carolinians today.
Be careful out there, Steven.
Yeah, be careful, man. How are you doing with the storms and the whatnot?
We're actually pretty safe, man. There's a big branch down in my backyard that needs a chainsaw, but other than that, we're okay.
Okay.
Well, what
good.
What town are you in? Like, what part of?
We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. So right there in the triangle where it decided to go around us.
Oh,
so that was good.
All right, around is better than in.
I'm very familiar with Raleigh. Been to Greensboro, been to Durham. I mean, Raleigh, Durham, of course. That's almost another city that you tend to say as a pair. You say Raleigh, Durham sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do people they hate that around here.
They don't like that.
We're our own city, dang it.
I had to go to Raleigh once for some electronics thing that I don't remember what that was about, but I had to do a trip out there, and I thought that place was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of tech company stuff going on at the time. So,
yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here. Let's play a little game. Brian Ibbett will explain how it works and what you could win.
I will do exactly that. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Steven, your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you're playing for a three-pack of prizes. Wasteland 2, the Director's Cut, the Classic Edition, courtesy of David Dingo Bleacher. Oxenfree, also courtesy of David. Ooh. The Team Fortress 2 badges, Mandrew's Munificent Mug, and Israfael's Eleemosynary Expression.
Jeez.
Courtesy of Matthew Bach.
Free!
That's great. Wasteland 2, by the way, Director's Cut's fantastic. I love that game.
Cool.
Yeah,
very
great game.
Cool. Well,
that's
you gotta earn it, though.
It's a hell of a list. But yes, you do have to earn it.
The topic today, in honor of Boop and such, and the as such, is the list of the best-selling video game franchises who released their first game in the 1980s. So between 1980 and 1989, the first game of a franchise was released that is one of the best-selling video game franchises and best-selling 10 million or more copies.
Oh, my gosh.
Is what we're considering best-selling.
When you say franchises, that could mean sequels and things that came along after?
It absolutely means sequels. And,
okay.
Yeah, so basically they released their first game in the 1980s, and they released at least one more game after that
post
point.
That.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. I can do this.
And right? Ugh.
It's going to be a little trickier than you think.
This feels like there's a lot of exceptions, though. But yeah, we could totally do this.
We'll figure this out.
There's some interesting ones in the list. Steven, knowing that is the topic, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, man. I hate to pick between you guys, but I'm going to go with Dunaway.
All right.
I'm going to put my money on Dr. Dunaway.
All right. Dr. D, Carolinians need to stick together. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. And you also get to pick who is forced to go first.
Okay, well, let's go with Scott first, then.
All right.
Okay.
I can do that.
All right. Scott.
Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yes, that is number one on the list. Super Mario franchise. First game came out September 13th, 1985. 327.5 million copies of various Super Mario.
It's the entirety titles. of the continent of the United States of America.
Right. Pretty much.
That's
yes.
crazy. Okay.
Fair and enough. That's pretty much it. Yeah. That's all we have.
That's all you got. What do you got, Dunaway? You got one.
Well, I mean, the 80s were defined by just so many Pac-Man games. I'm going to have to say Pac-Man. We still have games even today.
We do. Starting in May 22nd, 1980, 43.2 million Pac-Man games have been sold. So very good.
So it's got to start in the 80s.
Got to start. First game has to appear in the 80s.
Because I mean, part of me wants to go Blizzard, but that's like, they didn't even start till 92 or 90.
Go Blizzard! Do it!
I'm going to say the Legend of Zelda series.
Legend of Zelda series. Number three on the list started February 21st, 1986. 92.7 million copies of Zelda games have sold.
All right.
Right. Okay, so trying to remember what else might be in there.
80s is hard, man.
I know, that's what I said, because the things that started in the 80s, I mean, everything Nintendo, I'm trying not to fall over in there, but I mean, come on, Mario, and then we got the
whatever you
got
to do right, to win. So,
Donkey Kong has just been, every time there's a new one, there's a Donkey Kong.
There
so
is.
I mean,
started July 9th, 1981, 56 million Donkey Kong games have been sold.
All right. See, that's an interesting crossover.
I'm glad you didn't get trapped up on that or tripped up on that, because since Mario came from Donkey Kong, you might have been inclined to
group
them together.
Yeah,
except he was called Jumpman then, so he wasn't even Mario yet.
That's right.
Puckman. What?
Puckman.
No, that was the other thing.
That was Japanese Pac-Man. They changed it because people in America were scratching the P and making an F.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Oh, this gets tricky now.
Mm-hmm.
So tricky.
It
is tricky to rock a rhyme. To rock a rhyme. Also, 80s.
I want to
say.
I definitely want to say one, but that may be 90. Metroid. We'll stay in Nintendo.
Ooh.
Metroid. Yes, low on the list, but it's on there. August 6th, 1986, 17.4 million Metroid games.
Wow.
Oof. Barely. That felt like under the wire on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Another game that has done well throughout every device I get, from cell phones to pocket PCs, anywhere they could put it. Mm-hmm. Those Russians have spread that Tetris germ everywhere.
Tetris.
Very good answer. Number two, second only to Super Mario.
Really?
June 6th, 1984, with 170 million copies of Tetris sold.
I'm thinking very hard about... Oh! This has to be on there, but this could be Trixie on your list. I don't know.
Trixie?
But the original Metal Gear Solid game... 1 and 2 appeared on the NES, so that has
That's
to
good.
Be one.
That's a good one.
Metal Gear, July 13th, 1987, with 49.2 million copies sold.
That was very late 80s.
Very good. Yep.
Wow. Right? All right.
Uh-huh.
Let me think. What else has been on every friggin' device I've ever had?
I feel like you give me
I know that. One that never really did well at the arcade, but it's not every device I have.
Hmm.
Snake, which I'm not going to say because I'm pretty sure that probably started in the 70s.
Yeah, plus I don't think there's a... I don't think
there's no
has,
de facto franchise of
Snake 2. The
no,
Snake
one, no one's getting 10 cents for every copy of Snake sold, so let me see.
Right.
Oh, we've already went through...
This is a harder one than I thought it was going
to
be.
It is. Yeah. I'm trying to think what I was playing during the 80s, and I played...
Hold on, quick check on the...
Around.
It's a total of... Do you say 50, or what is it? Top 10? What is it? that we're doing?
Top 30.
30, okay.
Oh, 30. Oh, then you know what? I wasn't going to say this because I was thinking top 10 as well. But I'm just about every time I get a new console, it seems like some form of Frogger is on there. So I'm going to go with a Frogger. I definitely know that started
Frogger
in the 80s.
Frogger is great as well. June 5th, 1981. 20 million copies.
What?
Where's it at on the list? Like
let's
12,
see.
14?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm going to put a little hash.
Oh, my
mark.
God.
1, 2, 3, 4,
okay,
five,
yeah.
Six,
down the
seven,
list. Eight. Down the list. 18, I got you.
18th on the list. And basically, these are all ones that have sold over 10 million copies. That was my cutoff. By the way, again, big thanks to Jay Crockett, etc. for suggesting this one.
Mega Man?
Ooh, that's
Mega
a
Man,
good one.
Number
that's
11 on the
one.
List.
Oh, I hate Mega
December
Man.
December
so.
17.
I was really thinking he started in the 90s. 87.
No, really close. 87. 32 million Mega Man games have been sold.
Yeah, so pretty much anything that I remember on the SNES or on the NES will be 80s because that was all 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Done away.
I'm trying really hard to remember because I've been listening to Masters of Doom. Mm-hmm. Is the story of the two Johns, and they were talking a lot. They talked a lot about, you know, the Mortal Kombat series, but I swear it's like, it had to be like 88, 89, right in that area. I'm going with it. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
Like it's always says it.
1992!
Yes!
Dang it!
I knew this.
God, it seems like it was, but I was playing that in high school and I graduated and like.
You should see Scott's face as soon as he said that.
I knew it. I knew it. I was waiting for you to say that or Street Fighter. I'm like, nope, these are the 90s. And
Street Fighter 1987. You would have won. God,
oh, would I have gotten it? I didn't know if Street Fighter 1 was that old. I thought it was 90, Street and then Fighter, 92 was like. Two or something.
First Street Fighter iteration, August 30th, 1987, 41 million. So that would have been a good one to choose.
Wow.
Here's some of the other ones you could have said. Yeah. Dragon Quest, Dragon Ball, Street Fighter, Star Wars, Gundam, James Bond.
Star Wars?
Yeah. Marvel, just sure. As a whole Marvel. Yeah. Batman, Prince of Persia, Castlevania, I'm surprised nobody said.
Okay.
You said Frogger, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, something called J.B. Harold. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
SimCity, Megami, Tensei, Barbie, Adventure Island, Bomberman, Pitfall, Final Fantasy, and Madden.
Bomberman. Freaking Bomberman.
Jeez, man. This is like, it feels like everything is so obvious now.
The two I had in my arsenal still were Star Wars and Final Fantasy. I was going to have, I had those as my backups. Cause
I could have swore there was a Star Wars game that came out late 70s. I could have swore that.
I'll tell you. Star Wars.
I thought the original Polygon
was... the first one was the Activision game I thought that came out for the Atari, and it was based on the Empire Strikes Back. You were shooting.
But what was like the old vector one that was a lot?
No, the
like,
vector one where you sit down.
Yeah what was that? How old was that?
Oh,
that was
that
also Atari.
Even later than that.
Was
the,
it
the arcade one?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Star Wars
list
arcade.
Of Star Wars video games. 1983. Okay, 1983 was the arcade game.
Yeah, so still 80s.
Still 80s. Attack on the Death Star. Oh, here we go. Yeah, 1982 was the Atari 2600 Empire Strikes Back game. So that one was the earliest.
Let's see. Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
You would have been safe with Star. That surprises me a little bit. I would have thought like an Atari 2600 of something might have existed, but.
Yep.
We would have had that
2600 game, yeah.
Whew, that was a rough one. Well, Steven, you've done the best you could by just sitting there listening to us be idiots.
Sorry, David.
But we're sorry because you lost, and maybe one day you'll win again.
Oh, no.
Congratulations.
These prizes will carry over to Wednesday.
Yes,
they
will indeed. So whoever comes in here on Wednesday is going to freaking make bank. I can guarantee you that. Well done, Brian Dunaway. We have Boop later today. Very exciting. Today, 3:30 Mountain, 5:30 Eastern. We talk about video games, and boy, oh boy, do I have a thing to talk about. So come on back and check that out. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Don't get flooded, okay? You be all right down there?
I'm dry.
All right, dry. Be dry. Stay good. Stay fresh. All right. What are we doing now? I forget what's next. The news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Eggs and Ketchup.
Are you okay with eating eggs and ketchup, or what's your?
I am okay with eggs. I prefer Cholula, but if no Cholula is available, here's what I'll usually do. So if I get if I go to a place, a traditional diner, and I get eggs and hash browns,
yeah,
I always get the eggs, you know, over easy or over medium, depending on how well I trust the place.
Yeah,
and first thing I do is I slice up the eggs. Like crosswise, basically. I want a big mishmash of eggs smothered in yolk.
Yeah.
Then I chop up the, break up the hash browns, and then I kind of mix them all together, and then I put Cholula on that.
Ooh.
If I don't get that, if they don't have Cholula, then the ketchup is a very good alternative.
Yeah, it's all right. It's I got to have something, though, is my thing. I can't just have eggs by themselves. That's weird.
The mix of yolk and hot sauce is such a great combo.
It is, man. It's like invented really by the gods. The food gods. all right, let's do a story here. Check this out.
Okay, yeah.
Bunch of aggressive goats in the news.
Oh, no. Stevie Nicks is at it again.
I know. they have a taste for human urine. And they've been airlifted out of the park. So here's the question. What do you do when hundreds of mountain goats have become so addicted to the salt found in human urine and sweat, by the way, they mentioned that they are deadly or a deadly menace to national park visitors, charging at hikers and trampling vegetation? What do you do, Brian? What do you do?
Pop quiz, hot shot, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
I take out the leader of the goats and then... You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what...
Your Keanu Reeves is dangerously close to your Nick Cage. They're very close.
He absolutely is. I mean, come on, they're one of the same.
Yeah, they kind of are a little bit.
Keanu and Nick Cage in the same movie?
Oh.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, but don't tempt me. That sounds all right. I'd watch that.
Kind of would be awesome, right?
That new thing he's in, that... What's it called? Mandy? The new Nick Cage movie? Have you heard about this thing?
Oh, wow. I've been hearing great things about that. Dark. Yeah.
It looks like it's supposed to be... this awful schlocky B-movie horror thing, and instead it's got, where's the current reviews on this thing? It's crazy. Mandy.
two people in the chat room almost simultaneously said Keanu Cage.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. I can't find the name. Oh, here it is. Mandy, 2018, Nicolas Cage, Andrea Riceborough, and Linus Roach. Film is currently enjoying a 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
You gotta see it, dude. He kills people with chainsaws. It looks great. It says here, in fact, here's your deal.
I can cut a person up for hours.
He says, Pacific Northwest, 1983 AD. Outsiders Red Miller and Mandy Bloom lead a loving and peaceful existence. When their pine-scented haven is savagely destroyed by a cult led by the sadistic Jeremy Sand, Red is capitulated into a phantasmagoric journey filled with bloody vengeance and laced with fire.
So, man, it just looks gory as all get out. I mean, obviously, you got somebody killing themselves with a chainsaw or killing each other with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
They've already predicted on disc and streaming October 30th.
Oh, my gosh.
Just came out 3 days ago, but they've already got a disc and streaming date planned. Which I guess you do if it's a lower budget, like, all right, we know this is going to be 3 weeks in theaters and then move on.
May not even make it to broad release or something else, because it's, these kind of movies aren't really for that anymore. But also, how many of these schlocky things has Cage made in the last 10 years? Like, everything he's made is just paying the bills and paying off his debt. It's all crap, all of it.
Oh.
So one
people
of them
saying it's already streaming. So wait, this was the one I heard about that was day and date streaming and theater release.
It is?
That's apparently what people are saying. I knew there was another. I thought there was another movie where that was happening.
There is the Coen Brothers movie.
That's what it is. Yes, right.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs or whatever it is. Buster Scruggs, whatever it is. Yeah. So if that's the case, where can I see this? Where is this streaming?
Probably, like, I imagine it's rentable on iTunes kind of thing.
Let's look.
Let's take a look right now.
Yeah. Because I
want
this.
Movies.
Yeah, you probably just buy it then, right? Or maybe it's just buy and not rent. Mandy.
New and noteworthy.
Hey,
there
Mandy.
It is, Mandy. Yeah, sure enough.
Where is the streaming?
$6.99 to rent or $15 to buy.
I'm renting it. Done. Yeah. Done.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm done.
I guess we'll hear about it on Wednesday if it's good or not.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe not that soon, but I do want to see this. I mean, I can't believe everyone's like Oscar nomination talk for him again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy that this would be the movie that that finally gets.
It seems nuts. Cage's. Seems nuts to me.
He did, no nomination. Did he get nominated for Moonstruck?
Yes, and then also for Drunk in Las Vegas or whatever that's called. Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, Leaving Las Vegas. That's right. He did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I want to say, let's see, Nick Cage nominations. He's had a bunch. Golden Globe for adaptation. Best actor for adaptation for a BAFTA award. He won an MTV Movie Award for Best Villain in Face Off. That's awesome.
He did win the Academy Award for Best Actor for Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, he actually has an Oscar, that guy.
Yeah, and then nominated for adaptation and okay.
Some other stuff. He's a weird dude. Like, and sometimes you watch him and you're like, man, he's killing it. And other times you watch him as this, bees, not bees. No, bees.
I'm a wicker man.
I can't figure him out. He's so odd, but I want to see Mandy now.
Yeah. No, you can, and you don't even have to go to the theater to do it.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, bunch of guys tranquilized a bunch of goats and took them out of the park.
I wonder what Tina and I, because we're probably going to do a movie tomorrow night for, we're not, because Tristan's coming over for dinner. Paying a visit back to the house.
New phase,
probably
man.
Probably to bring his laundry. You never know. But
that's right.
Otherwise, we would have gone to a movie last night or tomorrow night, but I don't even know.
That's our
I don't even know what I'd want to see.
That's our Thursday gig.
Predator's not doing well.
Probably
A Simple Favor. I hear good things about A Simple Favor.
What's that supposed to be about? What's the deal?
Synopsis. Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. Blake Lively, they're friends. Blake Lively goes missing, and it's kind of a dark comedy by... you know this person, the director.
Do I?
I think so. Yeah, Paul Feig.
Paul Feig.
Paul Feig.
Yeah, I like Paul Feig. He's all right.
Yeah.
Blake Lively. She's from that Horrible Ladies TV show. Wasn't that called Horrible Women? Terrible Lady Friends. What was the name of that?
I don't know. I know her from...
Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl. Right.
I couldn't think of the name. Horrible Lady Friends.
Horrible Lady Friends.
My wife watched some of that, and I caught some sort of by accident, and it was not my bag.
No, she did that movie a while back where she was trapped on an island like a surfer or swimmer or something. Mm-hmm. The Shallows.
The Shallows, just last year.
Back in 2016.
Or 2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago, and I heard that was really, really good.
Yeah, I like her. She's married to that Ryan Reynolds fella, you know.
Ryan Reynolds fella, sure. Yeah,
they're doing good there.
Best Ryan and Blake.
Time. Yeah, hopefully that one lasts. It's Hollywood. Yeah. You never know.
They're a pretty couple.
You never know what's going to happen. There was an athlete banned from an all-you-can-eat restaurant for eating too much. He's always cracking me up.
Was it Chestnut? Joey Chestnut?
No, it was a German dude. He's a triathlete. Banned from all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant after eating nearly 100 plates of fish.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for him, man.
This really is that we tried to order more fish and they wouldn't give us any more fish.
It really is, exactly.
That's what this is.
Oh, I love it.
His name is Jaroslav Bobrowski. Jaroslav Bobrowski, playing left wing for the... it says an Iron Man competitor visited Running Sushi in Landshut, Bavaria. I don't know if I trust something called Running Sushi. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Seems a little, I don't know.
Yeah. Running Sushi.
Something about it. You know, not a great name. Anyway, no. According to the local, it's a paper, Bob Rowski went to the restaurant and paid for his food, which is about $18 here in the States. When I went to check out, I wanted to tip them, but the waiter did not want to accept the tip, says Bob Rowski. He told the paper, former bodybuilder sat down at a table and started eating and did not stop until he consumed nearly 100 plates of sushi. He eats for five people. That is not normal, says the restaurant owner. Bobrowski, who works for as a software engineer now by day, follows an extreme diet where he does not eat anything for 20 hours and then eats till I'm full.
Oh.
The until I'm full part is apparently what drove the restaurant to ban the athlete. He is no longer welcome there.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, wait. So you don't eat for 20 hours and then you eat until you're full.
Yeah.
Well, like here's the problem with that.
It's like a fasting thing, right? That's all that is.
Yeah. But like you do that after 5 or 6 days, all of a sudden you're eating in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, it keeps going back 4 hours and then.
Yeah, the clock doesn't make sense on this.
Right. Huh. Unless you eat for 4 hours and then the 20-hour cycle goes. One meal a day is just one big honking meal.
No kidding. It's very odd. Yeah. I know these kind of guys with these kind of metabolisms, I know they can go crazy. Like The Rock eats what, like 30 eggs in the morning or something weird?
Something like that. And eat chicken breasts or something. Yeah.
I want to go to breakfast with The Rock just one time. I just want to sit there and see what he does. Just hope Dwayne Johnson.
I've got a lot of time.
I won't bother him. I won't bug him.
Just, you want to go to breakfast with him?
I just want to sit there and watch him eat.
Okay, you just want to be in the same restaurant with him.
Yeah. So where I could see him just go, blah, 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 or even better, like just give me a camera in his house where he's, you know, cooks up the 30 eggs and the...
Yeah, that's not weird at all.
8 breasts of chicken. Whatever. Like, I just want to see him eat.
Give me a... Your folks. Scott wants a camera in The Rock's house.
Can this be arranged? I'm sure he has some cameras already. The guy's got a big old monster.
Sure he does, yeah.
Mansion place. Why not? He probably barely sees it. He's so busy.
Scott Johnson, rock stalker.
Rock stalker.
Rock stalker.
I can smell it. Smoking barrels. All right. Well, that's a story for you. How about this one? A guy was sentenced up to 5 years in prison because he's been shooting imaginary clowns.
Aw.
Seems
it should
harsh.
Be imaginary 5 years in prison if he didn't actually shoot a clown.
Maybe he's not in there for real. Who knows? Pennsylvania man was sentenced up to 5 years in prison this week for firing a shotgun in his home because he feared there were clowns inside. At first, they were curled up in a ball. Then they started to run around. So I started to shoot them, says Nathan Mathias. He told the Reading cops. This is in the UK, I believe.
No, Reading, Pennsylvania.
Oh, is this Reading, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
You're right.
First word in the article is Pennsylvania.
Oh, I missed that. Pennsylvania man.
You actually said Pennsylvania
man. Yeah, it didn't click in my head. At first, let's see what I've got. 35-year-old Mathias, maybe it's his name.
You're stuck on the ball of clowns. Yeah. Curled up in a...
I'll never get over that. Let's see. He was drunk at the time. Shocking. Said he was aiming at 2 small clowns in the Reading home during the incident in December of 2016. They're just finally sentencing this guy now. Investigators did not find anyone inside a second floor apartment and said the shooting put his neighbor on the first floor in the building in danger. Police say they found Mathias clutching a shotgun outside the house. A bottle of vodka was found open on his person, and he smelled of alcohol. Asked if he had anything to drink, he told the cops, only a sip, according to the network. I pleaded guilty to discharging a firearm into unrelated drunk driving charges earlier this year, according to the Reading Eagle. You ever been there?
They were a customer. I never went to the Reading Eagle.
What would you name? I did this on Twitter today. You can answer it on the air. If you were on Uranus, the planet Uranus, what would you name your paper? Would it be the Uranus Inspector?
Observer.
Uranus Eagle.
I would steer into the skid. I would go the Uranus Repository. Just like Canton. We've got the Canton Repository. I'd go with the Uranus Repository.
Someone on Twitter replied, the Uranus Bugle is my favorite. I like that.
That's very good.
Yeah, that one's really good. I wish I had your name. I'd give you credit. I forgot what your name was. Anyway, this guy shot a bunch of clowns that weren't there, so good luck to him. 5 years. And finally, a Galveston man, this is Texas, threatened his family and stabbed a cat 12 times. While his 4-year-old fired an AK-47. That's my favorite
stellar
part.
Stellar parenting and animal companionship.
Yeah, the animal part I do not like at all. But the 4-year-old firing the AK-47, while I don't like it, visually it's working for me. Yeah. Just in his diaper, shooting the thing in the air like some kind of rebel in the forest.
Jeez.
It says a man was arrested after stabbing a family cat. Why 12 times? Anyway, While a child is firing an AK-47, authorities say the incident happened Monday. And let's see. He told police he was threatening to kill her and her pets or take her children shortly after officers were dispatched in reference to the gunshots being fired. He was not at the location, though they found the guy later. He had blood on his boots and clothing. That all came from the cat. Let's see. The family cat, Snowflake, was stabbed to death while he was reportedly attacking the family pet. His four-year-old child found an AK-47 and started firing it. Jeez. Investigators say that that he left the location with the children and disposed of the family cat, then returned to the residence to find police already there. He was arrested and immediately, and none of the kids were hurt. So there's the silver lining is no kids were hurt. Downside is cat dead and stabbed, which is terrible. And also, this guy's a douche and should go to jail.
Can I get involved with helping design this guy's punishment? I've got, you know,
what do you got?
I got
what do you
some stuff I could work on.
What do you want? Give me a rundown. What do you want to do?
All right. Well, let's see here. He's got to listen to, he's chained to a chair, listen to all of Crispin Glover's music, all of his albums.
All right.
While, let's see, the room slowly fills up with, let's see, goat urine? How about goat urine?
Goat urine, I like it.
Goat urine, yeah.
Yeah, you know why this is working for me is it's unusual, but not nearly cruel enough. So keep going.
Yeah, I know, and we need, he's got to have some cuts or something so that the goat urine really, really sinks in.
Yeah, it stings.
Paper cuts.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of paper cuts.
And by then, the time he's done, he'll
goat
be
urine and,
more goat pee than man. I like it.
Yeah. He needs to suffer. Yeah.
It's not cool.
No. Actually, here you go. Put him, blindfold him.
Yeah.
Up against a wall, and then give 18 four-year-olds AK-47s, and
done.
Make sure that the kids are separated so they don't shoot each other, but they have the opportunity. Just shooting crazy.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll hit.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen. Just put some kids with some guns. I'm sure that'll be fine. Texas is all in on that kind of weird punishment. Let's do it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. Steven will be here talking about some stuff. And then Daryl with no Trek nerd news, only Oreo eating. It's going to be fantastic. So buck up and get ready. Before any of it, though, music from Brian.
Yes. Oh, I love this. This is such a great ending in the middle. It's a quintet based out of Chicago called V Sparks. They got a brand new album called Modern Life, modern spelled with an E on the end. You can find more about them at vsparksmusic.com. Listen, these guys are super glam rockers, inspired definitely by David Bowie, but I think for this song, especially inspired by Queen. This sounds like a lost Queen song with a different vocalist, and I absolutely love it.
Cool.
The song is called The Game of Everyone Knows It's You, or I'm sorry, The Game of Everybody Knows It's You. Again, V Sparks is the artist. Modern Life is the brand new album.
All right, be right back.
Everybody knows it's you. What could there be easier than hiding? Honestly, we're Living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. Oh, yeah, you can find them at the market. We talking about flea market. Montgomery, it's just like a mini mall.
I'm always looking for ways to relax my uterus. It's hard.
The Morning Stream. Always check your candy.
And we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Now, yes. Those watching on YouTube, you'll notice that this is now part two of today's video. Because YouTube, YouTube thinks every song we play in the middle is breaking the law somehow.
Exactly.
So, since I can't convince them otherwise, and really when I do try, I'm talking to robots. We're doing this now. Part one, part two, every day of the Morning Stream. Just how it's going to be. All right. Major spoilers time. That's what this is.
Yes.
Put on your short pants, because this is going to be good. I forgot to run Skype. There it is. All right. Stevens, you know, he's still a Skype guy. Can't help it.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
You know, we never did try the thing with him where we had him reset his video, voice and video settings.
Well, it wasn't that. It's not just camera. He can't get mic or anything to work. Like, it's all jacked up.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hey, it's Steven, everybody. He has a theme.
Steven.
That's right. Steven Schleicher all the way from Hayes, Kansas, and the one, the only, MajorSpoilers.com. Steven, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Always.
Brian, have you ever been to the Hayes Daily Journal?
I have not. I'm trying to remember if I've been to any of the Kansas newspapers, like
the Topeka Journal World or.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I have. Mm. I've been all around it. I've been to some Nebraska papers. I've been to, I feel like I've been all around Kansas to newspapers.
No Kansas City Star?
Mm. Oh, they were a customer. No, I didn't install there, though. But we did have a Kansas City Star.
Nice.
Wichita Eagle?
Did not have them.
No.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
These like three people running some of these papers. Like, tell me about like the Hayes. What'd you call the Hayes one? What is
Hayes
it?
Daily Journal.
Ah, how is it? Is it good? Daily you want to do an op-ed in there or something for us? Or what's the deal?
Oh, you could very easily.
Yeah. All right.
It's not as big as it used to be, thanks to the internet.
Yeah. Thanks, internet. You ruined something else for us. Thanks a lot.
Millennials. See, damn them all.
Damn those millennials and their internet. Steven, your presence here is always welcome. Today we're going to talk about some nerdy stuff. Let's talk, for example, about something about Superman that's got everybody worked up. Now, I haven't seen people get as worked up about Superman since they killed him in the comics, and it was a big deal then, and then he was back and nobody cared anymore. So this is a little different, though. This happens in the DC Cinematic Universe, and some people are in a tussle about the change. I personally say, you're better than this, so go do something else. What's your take on Henry Cavill no longer being Superman?
So, but that's the thing. He's, according to Warner Brothers, still Superman. Mm. Now, Hollywood Reporter and Deadline both ran stories last week that said Henry Cavill was out as Superman. They never really cited any reason except that they were trying to get Superman, Henry Cavill, to appear in the upcoming Shazam movie as a bit cameo part. Because Superman and Shazam are very connected with one another throughout history. And, of course, Billy Batson always looks up to Superman. My feeling is that part of this has to do with Cavill in the upcoming Witcher series, as well as the success of the most recent Mission Impossible. I have a feeling that Cavill's reps were going to Warner Brothers saying, yeah, he could do that, but how about a little bit more Iron Man money? You know, if you're going to be doing this with him as Superman, how about we do the same thing as Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man? And there must have been some back and forth. And this does often happen when there are some contract disputes where one side or another will go to a magazine or a newspaper and kind of let slip what's going on so that you can get the internet all in an uproar. And then finally the studio will back down.
Yeah.
So there was I don't think any other reason beyond, you know, trying to get some more money and the concerns that there would be a scheduling conflict. But as is always happens with these big internet things, people just bust out and start going crazy before waiting for everything to settle down.
Sure.
And of course, then later in the week, by Friday, I think her name is Danny or Danny Garcia, who is Cavill's rep, said, "Hey, don't worry. Everything's working out fine." Mm-hmm. You'll hear a statement from WB later today. And WB basically was like, "Yeah, we have no plans right now for another Superman movie, but our relationship with Cavill is remains unchanged, and we have great respect for him. And as far as we're concerned, he will remain Superman." Cavill also posted on Instagram him wearing the Krypton lifting team T-shirt and holding up his action figure, kind of maybe insinuating that, "Hey, don't worry. Everything is fine. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This is just some silly stuff." So once again, people get all worked up over a rumor without confirming fact. And a lot of people were contacting us on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday last week when this happened. And I was like, just everybody remain calm. We're not writing an article right now because I'm not one to run with big, heavy rumors. And so what we've started on Fridays is something called Did You Hear? Over at majorspoilers.com. And this is written by Ashley Victoria Robinson. You guys know her.
Yeah.
And we just basically wait for the heat to calm down, and then we write a more informed discussion of what's going on in the pop culture movie industries and really give you the straight dope on this. So in the case of Superman, this is all just a lot of nonsense going on right now.
Well, here's the deal. Let's say it turns out he is leaving, okay?
Nah, that's all right.
It's okay, because here's the only thing the DC Universe cinematic team got right: casting. He was perfect for Superman. Well done, guys. But you couldn't write a script, story, or character treatment that was ever up to snuff. It's not on him. This was not a Henry Cavill problem. It was never a Henry Cavill problem. It was always a scriptwriter, director, producer problem. So if you lose him and he goes off to do something else and you got to recast your Superman for however you're going to reboot your universe, that's on them. Like, he's going to do just fine. He's got other stuff to do. I loved him in that latest Mission Impossible movie. I thought he was great in that. He's extremely captivating, interesting actor. He has plenty more he can do. He doesn't need this half-assed garbage that DC and Warner Brothers are putting out. So I say Godspeed behind Henry Cavill and let him go do other rad stuff.
That Witcher thing could be a pretty big deal.
The Witcher thing could be huge. And a lot of people are like, based on a video game? No, no, no. You forget.
No, based on books.
Based on this series of books that were extremely popular, still are. Even the translated to English ones are great. They're really good. And that character is beloved outside of video games. The Witcher games also happen to be really good adaptations of the book and the characters. So that's something to be genuinely excited about. And I am.
Yeah.
He'll be a great Geralt. I have no problem with it. Fine casting. It's better than the guy that voices it now, and he's kind of annoying. But yeah. I love those games. But
Steve in the chat says, if Cavill's out, give Armie Hammer a chance. I think that dude could probably pull it off. Here's the funny thing: way back in 2006, when the writer's strike was about to hit, they were going to do a Justice League movie. In fact, they had a big rollout planned, a big announcement planned for the San Diego Comic-Con to have everybody up on stage and bring out the entire Justice League crew. But then the writer's strike hit and they couldn't get the script in before the deadline.
Yeah.
And Armie Hammer was to be Superman.
Oh, this could have been a big deal, because 2006.
That
was before Iron Man. Iron Man didn't come out for 2 more years, so there was a chance you could have usurped the whole MCU explosion.
Yeah, maybe. But I do remember that was going to go on back in the day. Someone says that he was supposed to be Batman. Maybe he was supposed to be Batman. I thought he was supposed to be Superman. That also, Scott, that Justice League movie was George Miller was going to write and direct that.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You and are all idiots.
No, at the time, everyone was laughing at it because everyone was like, you mean the Happy Feet guy?
No, but he's not just the Happy Feet guy. He made the most important film of the last decade. Like, George Miller.
This was before this.
No, I know. But I still would have had faith in it. If you would have said to me, hey, the guy that made Babe and Babe Pig in the City, I'd still be excited because those movies are awesome. That guy's great. George Miller. All hail George Miller. Get on your knees now and do this with me.
Yeah, Happy Feet, one of the greatest movies of the last decade.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a fine film. It's
I thought
that's
what you were talking about.
No,
I thought you were talking about Happy Feet.
Yeah, it's Happy Feet I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Chat room's like, good Lord, Scott, calm down. No, it's the freaking Mad Max films are some of the most important things ever made. Damn it! If he would have made a Justice League movie, that could have been super interesting. Mm-hmm. Now,
hey, if he would have done that, he might not have had the time to do the movie that you're that you love from him.
Brian, don't speak such words.
See,
dear listeners, about once a month, I'm going to try to get Scott to go off on George Miller and that movie that he wanted.
Hold on a second. If he would have done, a Super Friends, or sorry, a Justice League movie in 2006,
even better.
If he'd have done 06, he'd had plenty of time by 2015 to do Mad Max Fury Road.
No problem.
Oh yeah. No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no problem. By the way, quick note, total side note, does apropos of nothing. His Henry Cavill's agent, Danny Garcia, is a she, by the way. It's a Danny, D-A-N-Y. She is involved in a bunch of, or had been involved in a bunch of bodybuilding stuff before her career as an agent. Her photo on Twitter has convinced me that if I was in her vicinity and I have made her mad at all, I'd be dead within seconds. You guys got to see her. She is just tough as nails. My gosh, I wouldn't mess with her. Anyway, just a side note.
So real quick, here's the rumor here's who was to play Superman. Rupert Evans was to play Superman, and Teresa Palmer was to play Wonder Woman.
Who's Rupert Evans? Why can't I place that?
I have no idea.
Rupert, you know that
I'm just going back into the major spoilers archives.
Rupert Grint.
Rupert Grint is Superman. Oh, there he is. Really? That guy? He was Superman, or was going to be?
He was going to be, yeah.
He's kind of a spindly.
That was the man in the high castle is what we've seen him in.
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, okay.
But he's a little spindly guy. He's not a he's not a big, tough Superman man.
You know, Superman doesn't have to be a ripped dude. He doesn't have to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. If you look at Christopher Reeve, he was not barrel-chested. He was not ripped. He was a very slim guy.
Yeah. But do you think, I just think in the era of, Thor, any of the heroes that aren't inside of a machine or a costume that's otherwise bulky and not, anything that's like spandex now, I feel like if you made somebody just like a normal dude in there, I don't think you can do it in 2018.
Yeah. So if you look at, for example, Zachary Levi in the upcoming Shazam movie, he's actually wearing one of the suits that have like muscles built in.
Yeah.
If you look at the first four seasons of TV's The Flash, that suit also doesn't show Grant Gustin's full body. Now, in the upcoming season, he's wearing a more trim, like tight-fitting, I don't know if it's Lycra or what the costume's made out of, but it is super tight. And unfortunately, Grant Gustin, who is naturally super, super thin, is getting a lot of blowback because of people are like, oh, that guy's too skinny now. And that helmet makes his head look huge. And so, you weigh this balance between, do you go with a natural fitting costume or do you go with something that has a little padding to bulk the character up? But I really don't think you need, I don't think you need bodybuilder, somebody to play Superman. You could use 2014 Scott as a, as Superman, and he'd probably be just fine.
No, that Plastic Man, maybe. Okay. So I'm looking at this picture. I just put it up on the screen. And I also sent Brian a copy of it. I'll give you a link as well. But anyway, in response, Zachary Levi posts a shirtless selfie of him working out in response to people saying you're not big enough to be Shazam. Dude's pretty ripped.
Yeah.
He's worked fine. Out, yeah. But he doesn't. If you look then at the costume pieces, the shoulders are definitely much wider and have a lot more padding on them.
If I look like that, my wife would stay with me forever. She probably will anyway, but what I mean.
That brings up some questions.
I want to look like Zachary Levi right now. Anyway, what else is going on? Fantastic Four news. Ben Grimm, he's made of stone, really. Big orange rocked friend everyone loves, is getting married. Or is he? What's the deal with Ben Grimm?
So if people have been reading the Fantastic Four series since its relaunch beginning of this month, that Ben Grimm got down on one knee and proposed to Alicia Masters. The two have been dating for, centuries, it seems like. But in the upcoming Fantastic Four number 5, the two are finally going to tie the knot. But then again, everyone's like, or will they? Because we just got out of the whole Kitty Pryde Colossus marriage that didn't happen, that was built up for months and months and months. We just got out of this Batman Catwoman marriage that didn't happen. And so when Marvel says, we promise, guys, they're going to say I do, I think a lot of people are rolling their eyes. But Marvel says, yes, they will exchange their vows. But that doesn't mean there isn't going to be trouble at the wedding. And of course, if you look at the wedding invitation that they sent out to all of the comic book retailers at the end that says reception to follow and then scratched in red in Latveria.
Mm.
So you get some Doctor Doom action in this as well.
Sweet. Maybe he'll perform it.
Rings are little Fantastic Four rings. That's funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Can Doctor Doom perform a wedding? Can he? Is he legally?
Doom can do anything he wants.
That's right.
I got my qualifications on the internet. That's fine. Right. I can do this.
That's right. I mean, honestly, it takes. Go ahead. Pronounce what?
Isn't that what you have, Scott? Don't you just print out? Didn't you print out your certificate?
No, I didn't print it. Although I hear you can do that now. But back in 2013, whatever it was, I got mine. They had to send you a card, but it was still really easy. You go fill out this website. 2 days, 3 days later, you get a card in the mail. I still have it. It's a little black card. It says I'm eligible to perform your wedding from here to eternity. There's like no limit on it. There's no expiration. I assume I could kill a guy in Reno and hide the body under a hotel bed and still perform a wedding. Like, I don't know.
Probably. Yeah.
I don't think it matters, but yeah. So I think Dr. Doom could do it. I think that would be great. Let's get him in there. Ben Grimm Jewish? I didn't know this.
Yeah, he has been for a long time.
He's wearing a yarmulke in the thing, in the photo here. I didn't know that. That's cool. Didn't know that. I don't know why I would have thought. I mean, I just don't think of any of the Fantastic Four as religious.
Part of the Yancey Street Jew crew or something like that.
I just don't think of them as religious at all. Like the entire group. So this is interesting to me. So there you go.
I don't remember where it's been fully revealed, but it's basically a thing that's been in the background since day one of the Fantastic Four. And it may be just because I believe Kirby was also Jewish. Oh. And so much of Jack Kirby is in the thing that that seems fairly natural. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that Kirby was also Jewish.
It's a monster. It's like almost like an umbrella-sized yarmulke. You'd have to wear
that. Yes, it's a salad bowl.
Well, congratulations to him. Oh, yeah, he must have been hard to circumcise, says Icor. Good point.
That happened after.
Oh, foil the moil. Exactly. Woo! All right. Well, this is all well and good. If you want to read more about these things and more at majorspoilers.com, then you're encouraged to go there or follow Steven on Major Spoilers on Twitter. Anything coming up on the site people should be on the lookout for?
Like I said, this week, be on the lookout for Did You Hear, our weekly roundup of what's going on in Hollywood without all the hype and fluff. And we really just take a straight look at these announcements.
All right. Well worth your time. It's top 500 comics in August. Interesting. Marvel killing.
Yeah, that is really interesting because the top two comics are comics that have price tags of $5.99. Yeah. Now, granted, it's Fantastic Four number one and the Infinity Wars title.
Yeah.
That just has me worried that Marvel's going to look at that and say, hey, we need to make more if our title's $5.99.
Yeah.
Gosh.
By the way, the third is Batman 52, which is literally Batman's new 52. Think of that. Think of it. Get it? The new 52? Get it? Remember that? Remember that thing they did? So it's Batman 52?
New 52, yeah.
Yes, it's number 52. See?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Man, you guys are freaking slow today.
Sorry.
Embarrassing.
Not enough coffee, apparently.
Steven, have a fantastic day. We'll see you later.
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. That's his thing, the stay hydrated. That's what he does.
Now. It is. I love it.
All right, Daryl Skeels.
It's his old 52.
Let's see if we can get him in here. I'm going to turn that down because I can't stand it when it plays. There we go.
All Skype day.
Yep, it's an all Skype day. Daryl Skeels on the phone. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, that's great. I have a thing for you here. Hold on. Whoops. I wanted to play a new one. Oh, I didn't save it yet. All right. Well, I'll play something weird. There you go. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. from normally Star Trek nerddom. He's normally here to talk about Star Trek, but there's nothing going on. It's drought time.
Well, there is one thing as of about 20 hours ago.
What?
Rainn Wilson, as people point out in the chat room, released a tweet 20 hours ago where he's got his arms around a couple of green people saying that Mudd will be back for season two.
Okay, cool.
Well,
was there any surprise about that, though?
That's not about season two, though.
Oh, what's
that's
that about?
That's about a short. They're making four shorts, and that's one of them.
We talked about this last week, right? One of the shorts. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there he is, looking all scruffy. With his two,
I thought that was that wasn't a tweet. I mean, I'm sorry, that was a tweet, but that wasn't about season two.
No, it's about the short.
Oh. Says right. Oh yeah, says guess who's back? Okay, I'll tell you. Harry Mudd, big announcement on Thursday from Star Trek CBS. And then that's all he says.
Gotcha. Okay.
They're called short treks.
He has my beard.
We talked about that before.
He has my same beard. Mm-hmm. Freaks me out a little bit.
well, it's a little thicker.
It's a little thicker. Yeah, I want to. Yeah. I'm growing mine out. I don't know if you guys can tell, but it's getting there. It's not fast. I'm not a hairy man. So it takes me a little while, but I'm going to get it out to Rainn Wilson level, and I'll let you guys know how it goes. But anyway, because there's very little to say about Star Trek today, instead, we're going to test Oreos. And we have one to try. Let's see.
Our last one from Mary Heisenberg.
Yeah.
Heisenberg.
Let's see. We got to find a food clip. How about...
Now, Spam, as we all know, is a meat-related food product.
Okay, great.
Related to meat.
Chocolate peanut butter pie.
Yes.
Naturally and artificially flavored. Graham-flavored cookie, peanut butter and chocolate-flavored cream. And then, what's actually naturally flavored?
Peanuts.
Does it say that?
Probably. I imagine since it contains peanut butter, they...
All right.
Peanut would be their natural flavor. Oh, I already like the smell of this.
Oh, did you open it? Okay. And don't forget to lift the side thing.
Yes.
It's dark on one side, light on the other.
It is.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Wait, what? Hold on. Mine are all different tones across the board.
Your cookies are? The
cookies. The filling, yes, is definitely two-tone, but there's three rows, right? First row is a slightly darker cookie. Middle row lighter, and the other row is like in between them.
That's crazy. Mine is, they're all exactly the same.
Well, here we go. Your average outer white version of the cookie. Wow, yours looks so white.
Graham cracker version.
Oh, it was a graham cracker, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's do it. And then there's the middle, everybody, see?
That's a winner right there. That's the best one we've had out of this batch.
Yep, that is a good one.
Oh, these might be the best ones I've had in a long time.
Yeah. The graham cracker kills it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I might go buy these.
Hey, these are, can you? I don't know where you get this stuff anymore. You have to buy them online?
The store.
Oh. The store? Tell me more about this store. I have no idea. These are the best we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
They should keep these coming regular edition. These are fantastic. Yeah. Although, for some reason, only Oreos make... I have a tooth that's not... I have a cavity or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oreos only make it hurt. Isn't that weird?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That is weird, yeah.
Just like a little ache, almost like there's hot water on it or something. Nothing
Maybe
major.
There's aluminum flakes in there.
Oh, gross, dude. That's a gross idea, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, here we go. $2.98 for a package on Amazon right now.
These are good.
That's not bad at all.
Wow. These need to be far from me, dude.
Yeah, exactly. That's a recipe for disaster if any Heroes of the Storm coming up.
That's no good. All right. Daryl, my daughter's watching DS9 again. Mm-hmm. And she has a thought. She told me last night that the episode where William Riker shows up, not William, Tim? No.
Tom.
Tom? Thomas. Thomas Riker shows up. Now, as we remember, in TNG, there's an episode where Riker's transporter signal got split into two chunks. Well, basically a dupe of each other. So they had the pattern kept in the computer, and then they had regular old Riker come through on the other side. That pattern got extracted as a new Riker, and he became Thomas Riker and became like a... The Maquis or whatever? Like terrorist group in DS9? Mm-hmm. Like he went completely off the rails as far as that goes, was not part of Starfleet or whatever. So in DS9, there's an episode where he shows up, and there's a whole guest... thing. Uh-huh. She says she thinks it's the worst Star Trek episode of all time from any series.
Wow.
I'll have to write that down.
So you should watch it and then come back and tell me if she's wrong.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but she was like, that was terrible, Dad. And I'm like, well, and she's seen it before. This is like her third DS9 watch through, but she does not like Thomas Riker.
Apparently not. Wow.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah, so let us know. Next week, you'll have seen it. That's your job. It's your homework this week. Can you do it?
Oh, yes, I can.
Ga, ga, ga. All right, he's out. All right, well.
Awesome.
We've done it. Mm-hmm. We've done it once again. And then, oh, those are so good.
They really are good, yeah.
Usually I'm like, eh, it's all right, too sweet or too
I might
whatever.
Have another one of those during the mashup, we'll see, because I still have some coffee I can dunk it in.
There you go. I'm going to do a, speaking of mashups, the one you just said, I'm going to play it.
Yeah. Sorry, did I spoil it? Did I reveal the secret that we're going
to Not at all. We try to do these on Mondays whenever we can. Huge thanks to Jamie, a.k.a. TMS Mashups on Twitter. He makes these, and they're fantastic. This composes, let's see, episodes 1558 through 1561. It's called Kick the Seagull, and I play it for you now. They were like flaccid pickles, man. They weren't that great.
But they both do. If you want to work for Smash Burger, step on it, son. You gotta smash the burger with a puck and then put it on a bun.
Right said Richard. Wouldn't work. Right said Dick.
Right said Dick.
Yeah. So anyway.
I wish you would jump right off that cliff, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in.
That's crazy.
I remember when Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick. He kind of got a few things wrong, but we were willing to let it go.
Pick my bone. Here's my bone.
I
pick it.
Pick your bone real quick.
How do you know if something tastes good if you haven't had a little poop in your mouth?
Hey. Racist!
I know, racist.
Racist!
Yep.
Liptard!
I don't like dicks.
I'm going to put that bull pizzle in my dog's bowl.
My bone's bull shizzle bizzle.
I'm going to go run in Pamplona.
I got my hoe back to the crib with stacks of Benjamins and my pizzle.
Exactly. Rock out with your pizzle out.
Okay, I'm not familiar with this coupon, but I guess we'll honor it.
Mr. Wilson? Oh, he's not here. He's at a meeting. Okay, I guess we'll take it.
Would you like a bag of Sun Chips with those?
Leptospirosis? Pariasis? Leptospirosis.
Leptospirosis.
No idea what that is. Like a pine cone trying to pass it through your colon.
Hampton on the coast of New Hampshire.
I know.
Kicking a seagull with my cheeseburger.
It's kick the seagull, serious.
Kick the seagull, kick the seagull. Kick the seagull, kick the seagull.
You took my cheeseburger, kick the seagull.
That was a good one. I forgot the kick the seagull bit.
Morrissey is so fun. It just got to be. I'm glad we're sparing. We use him sparingly because it could be something that gets old really fast.
Could do a whole
show. We do just the right amount of Morrissey on the show.
You could do an entire podcast doing nothing but Morrissey impressions.
Oh, my God.
That's good stuff. Well done, Jamie. Scraping the barrel, finding the good stuff. TMS Mashups on Twitter. Don't forget to find him there. Okay, later today, we got the Boop Show at 3:30 Mountain Time, so come on back for that at frogpants.tv. It'll be me and Dunaway talking video games, and there's much to say, so come back for that. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show, and there's links like that and others like it over at frogpants.com/TMS. Everything you need, right there. All right, Brian. Okay. We should go now with a, you got it. I mean, look, I'm not saying you have to end the show with a song, but you've kind of been doing it for a while. So maybe you should do one more at least.
Well, you make it sound like it's, you know, optional, but people higher up than you, there's a guy who stands in the corner right over there. And all I can see is his lit cigarette whenever he takes a drag. He requires me to play a song at the end of every show.
Oh, all right. And, fine.
And he holds a cigarette really weird. Hey, Connor Phipps wrote in and said, hi, guys, it's my birthday on the 16th. I'll be either 27 or 28. I forget, as who cares? And I'd love to have a song played, listening since the start, and can't that smiley face you both enough for the work you do. Probably can't thank you both enough for the work you do.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's very interesting. Connor from Brighton. Well, happy to play this for you, Connor. He requested a cover of I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss. And I've got a doozy of a version that that I really, really like. It's a doozy, Scott.
All right, I'm in.
Did the word doozy make you laugh?
Yeah, I'm excited doozy. About a doozy. A doozy, doozy. Connected to a Kiss song? I'm in, whatever it is.
Some people will be surprised when they hear this that, oh, wow, Brian really likes a song that features nothing but bass, guitar, and female vocals. Well, it doesn't just feature that, but prominently features that. Yeah. Surprise. It's my favorite. I don't know. That's another ASMR trigger for me. Mm. This is I Was Made for Loving You, performed by the band Hypno Love for the collection The Ministry of Sound Uncovered Volume 3, which came out in 2011. Here's Hypno Love. I Was Made for Loving You.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new episode of TMS right here. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Can you smell it?
Yes.